Month ago. I'm holding on to it. I borrowed some money to buy it. Went up a little bit. Get out. That was 3 days ago. The stock went up 100 points between the day I sold it and today. $10,000. I missed out on because I sold it. And I said to myself, $10,000 in 3 days. Boom. Just like that. I just, you know, I said,
How could a show have done this to me, you know? I mean, yeah, you didn't sold it. I know I didn't, right? You didn't sell it. I bought it for. He made 500 bucks.
All right, so the thing is like, so this is basically an example of how the process of now, by the way, now, taking this into Avoda means, now, taking this whole process, the person who does this whole process, and Itaka sees, this and this is what just happened to me, this is what I ought to feel about it, and he decides, he realizes, I want to feel that way. I don't want to feel the way that I feel now. The way that I feel now is I'm miserable about it. I'm angry. It's not the way I want to feel. I want to be different. I want to change the way I feel.
Yeah.
Because after I learned all this, and I understand that this is the right way, and I understand Achdus Hashem, and I understand that everything is good, I understand it, and it makes sense, and I see examples in my own life, and therefore I have this exact situation. So what do I do? So what does he do? He starts to doubt. Mm. He comes to God and says, listen, I want it. This is what I want. I want to be part of your unity. I don't want to be outside of your unity. Because if I'm outside of your unity, the way I react to the situation is I feel it bothers me. Makes me mad. If I would be experiencing your unity, if I'd be part of your unity, I wouldn't be reacting that way. So he starts to daven. And think about things which inspire in him the desire to be connected to God's unity, to be completely consumed by God's unity. And so what happened? So when a person realizes how this is mamash the true reality, and how far in his own personal life, in his own personal experiences, he's from that true reality, he says, you know what, God, I gotta get out of here. I wanna connect to you. This reality that I just learned and understood and realized how mamash in all its details and how it applies to every situation in life and to my own personal life and to my own personal situation that I'm in right now and to my, it's mamash so real and so personal. He says to himself, hey, I don't want to be where I am. I want to be part of that reality. If it's that great, it's that good. I want that goodness. I don't be walking around with the misery. I want the goodness. So what it inspires in him is a tenua of ratzu. He wants to connect to God. And he starts to daven. And he starts talking about how great God is. And he's singing God's praises. And mamash, he says, this is it. This is what I want. And he takes it to the next step. He starts talking about how the angels perceive God's praise. What is it? What understanding of God's praise do I have? The angels, they sing God's praises on a much higher level. Then he comes to the realization, angels, neshamas, God loves us. That God loves me so much that he chose me and he wants me to be connected. And he wants me to be part of that one. And he thinks about how it's unbelievable that God should choose him in one hit. And God wants to be connected to me. It's not just that I want to be connected to him. He wants to be connected to me. And he wants me to be part of that one. So if God is doing that for me, so I want to give myself over to him in time. And he says, Krishna. And his mom she wants to give himself over to God in time. But only someone who did the process. Someone who didn't do the process, it sounds, he reads about these things in books. Yeah, so ratzu is when you want to give yourself over. Yeah, And he's the biggest expert on all the different kinds of love. And he's the biggest expert on all the different kinds of Mesudas Nefesh. And he's the biggest expert on the... And it's got nothing to do with him. It's nothing to do with him. He could tell you 50 Maimonim on Ratzu Vashuv. And that's nothing to do with him. He doesn't even know what Ratzu is. So after he comes, and if not, now he reaches the point where Mamash... He's just totally drained. He's given himself over entirely to God. Now he's given an opportunity to actually experience being part of that oneness. That's called Shema Esrei. That's called Shema Esrei. He actually gets the opportunity to experience what it's like being part of that one. But God says, listen, it's very good and very nice that you got to experience be part of that oneness. But you should know that I don't want you to leave the world and stop existing and just be one with me. I want you to take that oneness that you experienced. I want you to go down and start, and instead of just sitting and focusing on how great I am and how much you want to get close to me, and now I want you to go out and focus on making a living. Now I want you to go out and focus on living in the world, and at the same time, live and do all of those things and still be connected to my wife. That's true. I don't want to think about anything else. Anything else I think about messes me up. It makes me forget you want us. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to be connected to you. You want to be connected to me? To do what I want. I want you to think about. I want you to go back into the world. I want you to think about those other things. I want you to get involved in those other things. I want you to do those other things and still be connected to me. And connect every one of those other things to me as well. That's Shuv. Now, Ratzu and Shuv are two very opposite feelings. Ratzu is a feeling of like, I don't want anything else. The only thing I want is God, and to the point that I don't even sense my own existence anymore. It's just the only thing that's anything in my life is God. My own life doesn't even count. My own existence doesn't count. The only thing that means anything is God. And Shuv means to go down into the world and deal with the world and make the world a godly place. And make and sanctify the worldly activities, and so on. So the two very opposite experiences. So the thing is like this, and as the Rebbe explains in Tazrim, in the Sefer Tazrim, it says, Nadav and Avihu, when they went through the process, and they learned Chabad Chassidus, and they went through the process, and they experienced Ratzu. They didn't want to go back. All they wanted was to be connected to God and become completely consumed by God, and that's exactly what happened. That's not the way the system is supposed to work. So the question is, how do you do that? So that's it. So that's the job. So Hasidus explains, that's it. So you try all day. If you go through that experience, then the rest of the day you'll be much more careful, you'll be much more particular, you'll be much more conscious of God in your life. When you come to the next morning, you got to start all over again.
I thought the Chabad process is included. I mean, it's not just meditation, it's also including the davening. I mean, it's not just taking a concept and applying it to all those things. You have to have the davening also.
That's what I just did the
davening. Right, I'm saying fine, okay.
That's why I said, it's not enough, now you have to go to the davening. And I went through again in brief. So this goes
right. I just wanted to verify that.
We went through it, yeah.
It's ma'akeh, basically. Without davening, you get it, it means nothing.
Absolutely. Question is, the Rebbe says, people on shluchas, that if you do tzedakah, the Rebbe refines your heart and mind 1,000 times over, so you'll be able to do, in the less time that you spend doing the process, you'll be able to have the success of someone who puts in a lot more time, but it's not involved in the tzedakah, begashmi, zemburuch, and he's not involved. But you can't skip the process. The Rebbe says your heart and mind can become refined 1,000 times over, but you got to use it. You don't use it, so okay, it's very fine. It's just not used. So this is the process of Ratzon. This is the process of Chabad, Chassidus, Chetzenius, Hamechel, and there are more specific explanations for more specific character traits, and there are more specific explanations because in order to get a deeper appreciation of the process of Tzimtzum and the process of concealment and revelation, you have to understand each level more specifically and more in detail and more particular, as explained by the Rebbe Rashab and Kuntres HaTfilah, and one of the reasons why people never get to the point where they experience any significant ratzu in their davening is because they try to shortcut the process. Not that they didn't learn about, not that they just went with a general concept. They did learn about Achdus Hashem, and they did learn about Tzimtzum, and they did learn about Ein Sof, but they didn't want to get into like the real nitty gritty, every sphere and in the spheres, breaking down the spheres and every level and every world. They don't want the nitty gritty, they want like, wow, infinity. So because they don't get into the nitty gritty, it's not that real to them, and therefore they can't apply it to them, and therefore they can't, they get lost. I'm one of the earliest steps in the process. The process of Bina and its plainness requires very specific, very detailed, and going through all the details in your mind. Through the whole plainness, the Bina has to be with all the details, then the plainness has to be reviewing all the details, both in terms of how I see it, and both in terms of how I see it relating to me, and then taking it and relating it to a very specific character trait and a very specific issue in your life. You skip ahead of those processes, so you may get a little inspiration here, a little inspiration there, but it doesn't last. But along comes the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, give out. Yidden, give out. First, let's say L'chaim. L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim.
There's more where that came from, Rabbi.
Hmm?
There's more where that came
from.
Oh, stop,
was
it?
You think Achas Hashem from the Tzemach Bedek and Dech and Sech is important in my own way?
Of course! I need to learn more about Achas Hashem.
Yeah.
I need to learn more about Yashmir.
No, no, that. Yeah, 100%.
Every one of those things is to give you more detail. And then you have to take it to each meter. Each meter works with the same basic content. I was just listening to the whole part of the Goddess Everything. And being that every Jew is a part of God, is a part of God. Therefore, I should love him.
Well, there the second is a good thing. Yes, it's plastic ideas.
So that's the concept. Now you take that concept and learn. After such a about the difference between the Shabbos and Malachim. You have to understand this. You don't have to appreciate what the Shabbos is about. That's what the Shabbos is.
Can I ask you a personal question? You learned Shara Smith at Tefillah?
I have no idea what I've learned in my life.
But in Derek, you know what I'm talking about, in Derek and Stefan.
Have I looked at it? I looked at it.
Do you understand it? I just want to know if anyone did.
What?
I just want to know if I was the only one who didn't understand it.
It's like everything else. The more you learn, the harder you learn. The more you understand. Not a mention understand every single thing.
Yeah.
Not if you didn't understand every single point, then you can work with it. You can work with it. Your structure is not as complete, but the more complete, the more detailed, the more you grow, the more you learn, the more you do the process, the more you grow, the more you learn. Okay. So the mice is like this. The Rebbe comes along there and says, that's all a preparation for the real thing.
Oh,
that stuff, that's only a preparation for the real thing. That's really minor leagues. Major leagues is the next step, which is premium summer.
It's the 1998.
Now, generally the only people who ever go to the next step are tzaddik, are people with very high nishamas. have the capacity to go to the next step. What's the next step? The next step is like this. When a person experiences such total connection to God, so now everything we've described till now is how you take a concept and internalize it. But there's something, but so that's all gaining new understanding and insight, and therefore affecting it to create a deeper connection to God and to be able to change your character. But internalizing a concept, the fact is that you and the concept are still two separate things. There was a concept. And what happens is you beat yourself over the head with the concept until you get it, until you internalize it. But you and the concept are really not one thing. There's another level. There's another level of Chachma Bina Das. The next level of Chachma Bina Das is not where you take a concept and internalize it, but where you actually alter your perception. There's a difference between a concept and a perception. Our problem is, why did we have to go through this whole process in order to affect our character, our emotions? The reason why we had to go through this whole process is because our perception was the opposite of the concept. The concept was that everything is good. Our perception was that everything is miserable. So since our perception and the concept are diametrically opposed, so we need to go through this whole process of internalizing the concept. But what happens if a person would have a way to just alter that perception? See, if you could alter your perception, then the whole process is automatic. The reason why you feel like it is because you perceive it as bad. If you perceived it as good, you wouldn't have to fight with yourself and convince yourself not to be angry. If you perceived it as good, you'd be angry. You'd be happy.
But when he's done with his bonus, he sees everything is good.
No. When he's doing this bonus, is he's seeing how, according to the concept that everything is good, what I ought to feel about it.
No, but then practically when he doesn't see
that everything's good. He sees how, according to this concept, which I understand very well, I really, really understand this guy. According to this concept, I should feel different.
And he does, possibly.
Yeah, and he changes his feeling.
Right.
But it didn't change his perception. His instinctive perception is, ouch, that's miserable. That's miserable. Something happened to me and I reacted as if it was something bad. That means I'm outside of Achdus Hashem. That means I have to start all over. And he starts learning about Achdus Hashem. And he's mispainted. He had to do this every day.
But doesn't he change his perception after he reaches the davening? Obviously, he must.
So the truth is, the Alter Rebbe says, listen, Beinoni, you're never going to alter your perception. Forget it. Beinoni. The Mehus Hamidus, the Panimus Hamidus, didn't really change.
During davening, it did, though.
No. He could change the Midas, but the Mehus Hamidus didn't really change. So the Alter Rebbe says, listen, Beinoni, it's a miserable existence. I gotta do the same thing tomorrow morning. I just went through this whole exercise in connecting to God and changing my character. It feels like an exercise of futility. What am I wasting my time for? I'm not getting anywhere. No. Don't feel bad. That's your job. Your job is to not get anywhere. And that in itself gives God an even greater pleasure than the tzaddikim who.
During davening,
the Alter Rebbe says, even a Beinoni can experience during davening a real change, which will have an effect on the rest of his day.
Right.
And it'll have a real lasting effect on the rest of his day. And the more intense it is during davening, the more that lasting effect can linger on for a few days. But still, it's not like the actual experience itself. If he wants the actual experience itself, he's got to start all over again. And certainly if he wants to experience it on Iowa. So the Beinoni is knocking his head against the wall. All he could do is internalize concepts, experience fleeting moments of connectedness to God, and try to bring that down into the world. Live his life according to what carrying out God's will in this world.
The Hasidim are all like this?
But to him, the Ratzu and the Shuv, that world's apart. When he's in the state of Ratzu, he mamish feels totally connected to God, like he's totally one with God, and the only thing that exists is God. Then he comes back to Shuv, and it's like the exact opposite. But he remembers the experience. The experience made an impression on him. He remembers what it was like by davening. And that's what holds, and that's what keeps him going the rest of the day. So, that's the life of a beggar. The tzaddik on the other hand, the tzaddik doesn't sit and fight with his feelings. The tzaddik is not sitting and working with concepts. The tzaddik is working with altering his perception. The tzaddik has succeeded in altering his perception. The pain in the, he has a real attraction to an avera. To him, an avera looks good. It looks great. Why does it look good? So he learns the mashal of the Zayin and the Ben HaMelech, and he learns the whole sugi of Achdus Hashem, and the sugi of Tzimtzum HaRishon, and how the whole concept of sin is a byproduct of Tzimtzum HaRishon. He learns all these things, and he goes through the whole process. Tzaddik, on the other hand, he has succeeded in altering his perception that sin is repulsive. He doesn't have to work on himself. If sin is repulsive, what's your natural instinct when you see something repulsive? You don't have to say, dear sins, this is repulsive, therefore I'm going to run away from it. That's somebody who repulsiveness is only a concept. Mm-hmm. Someone that actually sees it as disgusting, his instinct is to run. That's his instinct. So you don't have to work on his feelings. His feelings automatically. If he also succeeded in altering his perception, then his feelings automatically fall into place. Never says.
Because what he did was with Pinyas Samachin, that's what that was his.
What?
Because he did Pinyas Samachin.
Oh. Because he does Davayda Pinyas Samachin. What's Davayda Pinyas Samachin? Davayda altering one's perception. How does one go about learning in a way of Pinyas Samachin? What does it mean learning in a way of Pinyas Samachin? So the first question is, how does a person ever get access to Panim Yisrael? How does a person get access to a whole altered perception of reality if his natural perception is not that way? And he only can take outside concepts and work with it. So the thing is like this. What's the key to altering one's perception? The key to altering one's perception is Kabbalah's Eilu Mesiris Nefesh. Kabbalah's Eilu Mesiris Nefesh, that's the key to altering one's perception. What does that mean? What it means is as follows. When a person is totally committed to something, he opens up in himself a deeper level of connectedness to that thing than if he's just than if it's something that he doesn't feel totally connected to. So another one. A father who sees his son's life in danger might instinctively risk his own life in order to save his son. Somebody who sees someone else in danger, start thinking about it. Like Samar al Dam Reyecha. Is this the halacha of Le Samar al Dam Reyecha? Maybe I should call it Rav. Why? Because his instinct is not to put his life on the line for his own. Why not? Why does a father have an instinct to just do anything to save his child? And for a stranger, he doesn't have the same instinct. His instinct is to save yourself. And he has to go against his natural instinct to save him. Because with the stranger, he doesn't feel a connection. But with his child, he has such a deep connection, a connection which transcends the rational mind. And when a person experiences a connection to something which transcends the rational mind, he doesn't have to consult the rational mind. When that connection is threatened, he doesn't have to consult his rational mind. about what he should do to preserve and protect that connection. He's ready to put everything on the line. When a person has a commitment and a connection to something which affects him in his innermost, the core of his innermost being, so he doesn't have to consult the rational mind. It's instinctual. He's totally connected to that. However, you can find fathers who are willing to put their lives on their life on the line for their child who don't get along with that child. They don't like the child. He loves the child. He's ready to die for the child, but doesn't like the child. So what's wrong? How could that be? He has such a deep bond, such a deep connection with his own child. How come he doesn't like the child? And the answer is because in order to translate love into like, you have to do the process. But here the process is totally different. Here the process is a process of putting yourself. I have this tremendous connection, this little being that I feel totally, totally good. I'm ready to give my life for this group. I'm really ready to give my life for this person. So I want to understand and appreciate this person. Which you have to do. You have to learn to understand and appreciate that child. You learn to understand and appreciate that child. What happens is, once the parent focuses on, okay, the qualities of the child, then automatically their conscious love for the child is awakened. So he's using his mind also. But he's using his mind for something that is affecting him on a much deeper level. When you want to relate to something that you have a much deeper connection to, you also have to use your mind.
Because there's already atom connection there.
The atom connection is there.
But also, the person, the brain, the humanities, and the whole thing, he doesn't have an atom connection there, is
there? He doesn't have access to that atom connection. But that atom connection is there. For some reason or other, God made it, he doesn't have access to it.
Huh.
He can only tap into it in very little ways. He doesn't have regular access.
What's the process here?
He has to start from scratch. He has whatever connection he has on that level is totally concealed, and he does not have real full access to it.
The bin.
The tzaddik, what's the difference between the tzaddik and the bin? If you look at it, the Alter Rebbe describes the kind of love that a tzaddik has for the Eibishter. It's the exact description that the Alter Rebbe gives for the Avim Misoteres that every Jew has.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between the tzaddik and everyone else?
Exactly.
The love that Alter Rebbe describes as the love of the tzaddikim for God is the same love that Alter Rebbe describes as the hidden love that every Jew has. So what's the difference? The difference is that the tzaddikim experience it consciously.
Yeah.
And to us, it's only subconscious. So once to experience it consciously, that's a gift. That's a gift from Allah, to actually be able to experience that consciously. Because really, that love comes from an infinite place. To be able to experience it in a finite consciousness, that you need God's intervention. That's a gift from above. To illustrate this concept in our reality, God created something called the Father and the Son. So, which play out this type of relationship. The same kind of relationship that a Jew has with David. One of the types of relationships. He made a husband and a wife because that's a dogma for another type of relationship that we have with the Creator. He made different relationships in our lives which provide a dogma and a mashal, because again, to do the process, you have to have a personal dogma and mashal in your own life. So things like this. So, the Rebbe says, so what's the key to Pnimius HaMeichen? The key to Pnimius HaMeichen is, what's the key to altering your perception? Key to altering your perception is total commitment. Total irrational commitment.
Which we have access to the being and didn't have access to.
Right. That is something that we have more access to than anybody that ever lived in the history of the world.
How come?
Because their Chachma Bina and Das were on a higher level. And when they internalize the concept, it had a much more profound impact on their midas. So because of that, so the inner, the deeper innate instinctual irrational connection to God was not as manifest. But because we also learn, and we also do as well, because you don't get the gift for nothing. You got to do something. We, if we learn chassidus, and we do this brightness. And why are we learning this and doing this brightness if we, what we experience is nothing compared to like what they experience? Why are we doing it? Because we have this deep, irrational connection to God which makes no sense whatsoever, which transcends all reason. When a person becomes conscious, when a person is consciously aware, pays attention to that, that I have that connection. When a person, just like a father in his relationship with his child, a father in the relationship with a child could overcome any obstacles if he would just focus on the fact that I'm ready to die for him. I love this kid so much, I'm ready to die for him. I just don't like him. When he realizes that, so then he has to find what it is about him that's likable. And he will succeed. If he's committed, if he says, listen, I'm willing to die for this kid, let me figure out what's likable about it. But the second he finds something likable about it, aha! He doesn't have to work at it. He doesn't have to work at liking it.
As opposed to the father.
He only has to put in the effort of seeing the kid's quality. Once he sees the kid's quality, because he has that deep connection, so automatically. So when he's not looking, he's not relating to a foreign concept and trying to figure out how do I relate this foreign concept to my life. He's looking at his reality. He's looking at his own life. That's his whole life. He said, this is my life. I'm ready to die for this guy. I'm ready to die for this schmutzer that's running around. So, what? What is it about? So, the whole concept is him. It's not that he's looking at a foreign concept and trying to relate it to him. He's looking at himself.
As opposed to the father who was so involved with liking the kid, he never has to feel a feeling of wanting to.
He likes to be, he's a kid's rocket kid. Kid has very obvious qualities, very obvious mindless. So he likes him, but they just get along. They never experienced what it's like to
irrational.
I love this kid, I want to like him. I have no reason in the world to like him, but I love him. And I want, and I'm going to figure out some way to like him.
So then they got to love him, the amount of time with us.
I got to figure out a way to help him become more likable, to do something, to make him, to find a way to like him.
So the Beinu is so involved with liking Hashem, and so understanding Hashem.
The Beinu, his dream is to access, to experience that kind of connectedness to God. But that's not where he's coming from. That's not where he's coming from. He knows he has it, because he read in Tanya that he has Avraham Mesoteros. That's also a concept. He doesn't feel it. He knows he has it. A father feels it. If the father pays attention to the fact that he feels it. If a father concentrates on the fact that he feels it. The fathers who don't like their kids, they never bother doing anything to get to like their kids. Why? Because they not only because they got so involved in not liking their kids, they forgot that they love them. And if you forgot that he loves them, so then the relationship's finished. Unless something comes along and reminds him that even though he doesn't like him, he loves him. And then he says, oh, hey, listen, if I love him, I might as well learn to like him. How do I translate that love into like? How do I bring it down? Into Gimoyim. Into Chachma, Binadash. But that's already, but I'm looking at me. I want to experience my love that I have in a more conscious way. So I'm studying me, I'm not studying a subject outside of me. What I'm studying is me. When I'm studying me, then I'm working directly on my perceptions.
So I'm looking at chassidus.
When I'm studying an idea that's outside of me, so I have to take that idea and work on it until I can actually relate to it, connect to it, and actually be inspired, moved by it, and I connect to God through it. But when I'm studying me, that's why.
Could you say, therefore, we require less time and effort to do this?
No. We have to approach in a whole different way. We have to approach the devil. Until now, the way we were supposed to approach God. Until now, the way we were supposed to approach the process of Chachma Bina Das. And so on is, listen, kiddo, you're stuck. Halavai Abeinani. Forget Tzaddik. You know what I mean? It ain't gonna happen. Not a boss, you have a shmur, so you have to think about it once in a while. But forget about it. It's not happening. So what's your job? Your job is working on concepts. And internalizing those concepts, taking out a nefesh ha-bahamas, taking out behavior, and hacking those concepts into his cup until he actually changes his character. Now the devil says, now you're supposed to look at the exact opposite.
Now you're supposed to
look at it the exact opposite. That every Jew can be a tzaddik. That any Jew can be a tzaddik. It's not your job anymore. Your job is not to take foreign concepts and introduce it into your consciousness. Your job is to get in touch with your innate infinite connection to God, not only your innate infinite love and devotion and to God that you're willing to die for God, but even deeper than that you and God are one.
So
when you're learning a maimon, you're not learning about God. Let me tell you something. So you don't have to do that. So it's not the whole process of taking the idea, it isn't that, going through the whole process until it actually becomes a personalized idea.
So you can skip that?
No, you have to learn it and understand it. But everything you learn and understand will automatically become.
So Pasha does take it, it's a clicker.
But only if you're actually living with.
Obviously.
Right, if you're honestly concentrating on. Right, if you're honestly concentrating on first, on going through the sikhs with the Rebbe, talks about the idea that you're totally one with God, and that your total oneness with God comes about through your connection to Melech HaMashiach, and your total. And really focusing on getting in touch with that total one, that I am one with God. This is my essence. I am one with God, and therefore I am one with every Jew, and therefore I am one with. And therefore I am one. Now, how do I actualize that? I want to actually experience that. I want to actualize that. I want to get it. I really want to get in touch with that. That's true. How do I actualize that? How do you actualize that? Learn it.
So it's not going to take 40 years.
No! The Rebbe said we're after the 40 years already. The Rebbe said the 40 years are over. That's the whole point. You can go to Pnimis HaMeichen because the 40 years are over. 40 years is not by the Chetzenis HaMeichen. After 40 years, it's Kaim Minash Adai to the Rebbe that he can actually connect to the Pnimis HaMeichen of Israel. He can be his Rebbe. He can experience his Rebbe's understanding, not only conceptualize his Rebbe's understanding.
What about the Tzim Tzum Rebna, to shame all those things?
Now, of course, those are, you know, of but course, that's you. You want to see the oneness of everything with God and you, it's you. It's the story of you. It's not, you're not reading books about God. Tell me one thing in the world that anybody is more interested in than himself. This is about you.
Don't you say? I'm innocent of that would be. You're learning about other coups from me. Okay, it's me. But the me that I know of when I use my mind is not that. Is not that me?
One second. Again, we know that you have not experienced that as yourself in your consciousness. But what? But if what's driving you is the desire to experience God, that as you. If what's driving you, if what you're trying to accomplish is, I want to be a smart chassid. I don't mean like when it was dumb chassid, we don't know anything. Just you run around screaming, I want to be a smart chassid. That's your motivation. So you learn and you'll get. If your motivation is, I want to be an avid. I'm going to work on myself. Fine. You'll do it. You work on yourself. It's pretty discouraging because compared to what when you read about what people in earlier generations accomplished when they work on themselves,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that encouraging. But you can console yourself with all the consolations that Donald ever gives the Bainani. You're doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's kafiyus sidrach. The only thing is not the job to do now. You're just on the wrong job. So what's the job? the job is, what does it mean to internalize things that are beyond your understanding? What does it mean to internalize things that are beyond your understanding? The job now is internalize things that are beyond your understanding. I had a hard enough time internalizing things that I couldn't understand. Now you gave me a new job. Internalize things that are beyond your understanding.
Do me a favor.
What does that mean? That means that you have to, so the Rebbe says like this. The Rebbe says that when a person is driven to be one with God, to really be one with God, not be consumed by God. Because if he's consumed by God, then he's not, then his existence is not one with God. In order to be one with God, he has to stop existing. Ratzu, which is the opposite of Shuv, is when a person feels that he has to get out of being who he is and become consumed by God. The Shuv is, yeah, well, our shock. See, God doesn't want me to be consumed by him. He wants me to go out and be me and do a job in the world. But when I am, when the whole idea is to reveal how me and God are one, so Ratzu and Shuv is one and the same thing. Ratzu is experiencing how me and God are one as expressed in my doing things to connect, to reveal my connection to Him. And Shuv is expressing how me and God are one by revealing that connection in the world. It's the same thing. It's all about doing the exact same thing. It's how to add some. Ratzu and Shuv are the same. So the whole difference comes when I still relate to godliness as something foreign that I have to introduce into my life. When a person, so but the Mesiris Nefesh of Galus, the Mesiris Nefesh of Galus made accessible to us the capacity to be driven by the need to reveal our oneness with God.
How do you create that?
In the world.
The same
way a father awakens the consciousness of his love for his child. If he's focusing on all the things he doesn't like about his kid, so he forgets that enough. If he works on just focusing his awareness on just focusing his awareness on this love that he has for his child, then it's gonna, then he does the process, but the process, he does the same process. Chachma, Bina, Das. He starts over the concept. The concept is that a father's love for his child is a love that's infinite. The concept he's starting with is, I have an infinite love for my child. He's starting with himself. He's starting with an outside concept of trying to fly. He's starting with the concept is himself. I have an infinite love for this child. How do you understand that, an infinite love for a child? When he works on actually developing the understanding and thinking into what it means, an infinite love for a child, then what happens is, boom! The process that he's initiating is a much deeper process than the process that someone is initiating when he's trying to relate to a concept outside of himself. When a person is trying to relate to a concept that's inside of himself, when he's trying to relate to himself, okay? So what he has to do is alter his perception. If that guy's going to come to me, he's got a problem. What's his problem? His problem is he doesn't like himself. So what am I going to do to change? What am I going to do to convince him? I'm going to tell him a concept. What concept am I going to tell him? What concept will convince this guy to like himself? He's ugly. He's stupid. He can't make a living. No one likes him. So what concept? Why should he like himself? What concept am I going to teach him?
And God loves him?
The concept that I'm going to teach him is that you love yourself and you're just not conscious of it. You do love yourself. And you want to know something? Even being down on yourself And this comes from your love for yourself.
What?
Your dislike for yourself is a negative manifestation of your love for yourself. You know why? Because your love for yourself is so huge that you haven't made your consciousness a vessel. Your own consciousness is not a vessel to appreciate the love that you have for yourself. So the love that you have for yourself is manifesting in negative ways. So I say, yeah, what do I do then? What do I do then? Learn this concept. Understand this concept. But this concept is about you. When you learn this concept and you understand this concept, then you're working directly on your perception. Because I'm driven by, hey, I love me. And this is just my love for myself manifesting in a negative way. I don't want that. I want my love for myself to manifest in positive ways. So when I alter my once I get the idea, when I got the idea, hey, that's really me. Hey, that's really my love for myself. You know why I'm beating myself up? I love myself.